gospel pointing for today, the healing of the centurion servant, reminds me of teaching that I've heard on several occasions, that faith is not believing that God will do something, but that He can do something. That never really made very much sense to me. It seems like it's kind of a cop-out. Maybe there's an element of truth to it, but the centurion believed that God would, that Jesus would heal him. And this is common in the Gospels. It's not every healing story. They're each unique in their own ways, but people were relentless. Canaanite woman, relentless at beseeching Jesus. The people who lowered their friend, the paralytic, down in front of Jesus through the roof. I was reading some prayers last night with someone on the phone. That I do it every couple weeks. A person that's been in tremendous pain for many years. And I feel very sort of inadequate in this whole context. And I read four prayers, and I was struck. Even though I read these prayers with people often, I was quite struck with how different they were. In the first prayer, it is unquestionably an expectation that God is going to act. You restore those who are cast down, and so on. It says, Lord, heal the servant. Send down your power from heaven and touch him. Cool the fever, stop the pain, be the physician of your servant. There's no qualifiers, there's no if it be your will, there's no do this for our, whatever's for our salvation. It's just unequivocally, Lord, act. Like often in the Gospels. But the next prayer that I read says, ask that we be raised up, raise this person up from their bed of pain and weakness, that they may serve you all the days of their life. But then there's a little bit of a qualifier, as if it's not going to happen right away. Let me use this sickness as a time for adoring your love for man and for the occasion of renewal, following you with firm resolve and unshakable courage. Let me remember that I'm only dust, and if I live at all, it's by your grace. So there's this profound sense of fragility and even the positive role that the illness can play in our life. But it's still a prayer of faith, even though it's not a prayer that God's going to heal at this moment. In the third prayer, it says that the person lies in sickness and in pain. We come before you at this hour of trial when the burden of sickness is heavy upon me or heavy upon your servant, and the pain of suffering seems more than she can bear. Then here's the request. Beg you to give your servant patience and strength. Let her trust in you and trust that what is happening to her now is for her salvation. Let her trust that you will not abandon her. Bless her to transform her suffering into a firm witness to your grace and power and into eternity, experiencing pain's eternal life. So here now, there's no prayer for healing at all. There's, Lord, help me to endure the suffering that you've given me. Help me to be aware that you're not abandoning me, that your presence is here even in the midst of this agony. And then in the fourth prayer, where really it's a kind of extreme, the other extreme. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. Our ways are not your ways. We confess to you that we cannot see your divine hand in the suffering of this person. We're just totally blind. We don't get it at all. There's no pretense here. There's no piety, no kind of feigned piety. Help, we beg you, to see that in this evil there is some purpose. Beyond our grasp and comprehension, our minds are confused, our hearts are in distress, our wills are lost and weak, our strength is gone. As we see your servant caught by the sins of the world and the power of the devil, the victim of senseless suffering and pain. There's nothing in here about for anybody's salvation or patience to endure or anything. It's just like we're at our wit's end. We're hopeless. There's no sense in which our any reliance whatsoever on any of our human reasoning or sensory apparatus or medical methods or whatever it might be, whatever resources we can call upon in this fallen world, we don't have any hope in any of them. We don't even have any hope that we understand how you're acting in the world. So what do we ask? Have mercy, don't prolong the agony. Almost as if it's a request to be freed from it and pass into the next life. Do not allow the pain and suffering to increase. We don't know what to ask. Give us the grace only to say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I simply want to point out that these really four quite different prayers are all profound expressions of faith. And it's been easy for me at different times to feel like, okay, I'm not a person of great faith because I don't really believe God's going to heal this person. But I don't believe that the other three prayers that I read excerpts from are any less prayers of faith. That God will use this illness for our salvation. That we don't know what God will do, but what we want is patience and awareness of His presence. And then even the complete abandonment, that we don't understand anything, we're completely confused. It makes no sense for us at all what's going on. But we still cast ourselves on the mercy of God. What is sort of important and common to all of these prayers is that we're turning to Christ, we're turning to God, not to ourselves, not to the things of this world. Our trust, our reliance, our hope, our expectation, even in the midst of complete blindness and confusion, is still a turning to God. So I think that the faith that we can express in our prayers, quite generally, but especially as it relates to healing, might manifest itself in these very quite different ways. But we don't have to think then of ourselves as not having faith if we don't fit into one category, but rather that faith will express and manifest itself quite different ways, given who we are, given our situation, the place we are in our spiritual life, what it is that God puts in our heart. And we can be, in a sense, content and even delight in that uniqueness that God gives us, each in our own way. The important thing is that we're reading the prayers, calling upon God, and not relying on ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.